Money FM 89.3, best of prime time.
You're listening to Prime Time on Money FM 89.3, and now it's time for our regular sports show, Game of Two Halves, every Monday at 5:15, where we host the sports podcasters from the Straits Times. I'm Rachel Kelly, standing in for Bernard Lim, and I have with me sports correspondent Cezali Abdulaziz and sports reporter Kimberly Quek. Hi, guys.
Hi, Rachel.
We begin with some sad news today. 27th of April, we learned that Annabel Pennyfather, a trailblazer for women in Singapore sport and prominent sports administrator, died. She was 72. Cezali, you worked with Annabel a number of times over the years. What are some of your fondest memories of her?
Yes, it was really saddening news to learn of this morning. A huge shock as well. I spoke to her in December for a new story I was working on, and she was as cheery and chatty as always. This morning after I learned of her passing, I also learned that she had attended a public sports event just last month. So she was still very much, active in the sports scene, and the news caught a number of people by surprise this morning. Yeah, as far as my memories are of her, I remember going abroad and covering the 2013 SEA Games in Myanmar, where she was the chef de mission of the Singapore contingent. And, one anecdote I have is that, at the team Singapore wrap-up at the end of the games, she was so encouraged by our athletes' performances, despite them posting a significant lower medal tally, and she was so positive about it, and she was so cheery that my colleague David Lee actually likened her to Paula Abdul from American Idol.
Wow.
Being like such a cheerleader. So I eventually used the comparison in my report, and before I did, I asked her what she felt about it, and she gamely responded, she liked Paula Abdul more than J-Lo, who later replaced her on American Idol. So she was always friendly and game and approachable, and we would have later we have a lot of nice conversations at various sporting events as well over the years. So certainly really, really sad news.
And personality aside, can you tell us what made her so widely admired within the sporting fraternity?
Yeah, her accomplishments in sport, I think, speak for themselves. I think all you have to do is type her name in on Google and all the articles, reporting her passing, have a wealth of information, of all the things she's done at the NSA level with hockey or in the National Olympic Council. Or even internationally, in various roles that she held. She was also a role model for women in general because, she rose to the top in a male-dominated sports scene. And the remarkable thing, I have to go back to it, is that she did so well being so approachable, and warm to pretty much everyone she came across. I mentioned, our last phone call in December, it was not a short one. I think it was over half an hour, was usually the case with her because she was, she always made time for people she really was really patient, and judging by all the comments I've seen on Facebook from various people in the local sports fraternity, I think this really extended to everyone. So she certainly is really missed.
A very open and warm person. Well, Annabel's passing certainly is a big loss for Singapore sport, and we send our deepest condolences to her family. Now, Cezali, in other news, Singapore-based organisation One Championship introduced its official rankings for the first time. Can you tell us more?
The rankings reflect the top five contenders in each weight division. They encompass mixed martial arts as well as Muay Thai and kickboxing, which are also presented in one. So the weight classes that have rankings are the strawweight, flyweight, bantamweight, featherweight and lightweight categories. An 18-person panel of sports media and industry experts, which includes some former UFC fighters who are now signed to one as executives in Misha Tate and Rich Franklin, will determine on any movement on the tables after each one event based on criteria such as wins and losses, quality of opponents. They'll do it by voting. And I'm actually on the panel myself, given the fact that I've covered MMA for a number of years now.
I see.
For the Straits Times. So, yeah, I'm really excited and looking forward to playing my part one resumes its normal operations after the coronavirus issue subsides.
So, non-biased opinion then, Cezali, is this a good move for the organization? Why are they doing this now?
Yeah, well, I spoke to Chatri, the CEO, and he said, the timing just felt good. And he said he had always wanted to introduce official rankings at some point. And like I said, I think it's long overdue. I think one was formed in 2011. And while it has grown and expanded its reach over the years, one of the things critics have picked on, and I think you won't say I'm biased considering I'm saying what the critics are saying, is that sometimes fighters are so-called promoted, by the organization. This is what they say, or get title opportunities before they have earned it or paid their dues. So I think with this ranking system finally in, there's greater clarity on how one decides to grant title opportunities or fights to its athletes. And you also help the casual fans to understand the significance of fights between top contenders, like, you know, in the top five, for example.
Okay, have we got any Singaporeans that are ranked? And what's on the horizon for them?
Yeah, so there's one Singapore-born athlete among those ranked, and that's Tiffany Teo, who is the number one contender for the women's strawweight title. That title is currently held by Xiong Jing Nan of China. Tiffany previously said she was keen to face Xiong in Singapore on a show that one has scheduled for July, but when I spoke to her earlier today, she said there have been no offers for the fight to take place and that she's still happy to bide her time and consider other fights. Then, of course, there's Angela Lee and Christian Lee, the siblings, who are both champions in their own respective divisions. They're Canada-born and reside in Hawaii, but they spent some early years in Singapore. Their dad is Singaporean and they still have relatives here and they fight under the Singapore flag. So it's not really clear what's ahead of them at the moment, but Christian is the top contender for the featherweight division, while Angela is number three in strawweight. So it's a possibility that in the next 12 or 18 months they might try and, you know, win a second title.
Now, still on the topic of MMA, the UFC recently announced that it's resuming business with three confirmed dates starting from May the 9th. Do you think this is too soon, Cezali?
You know, Dana White, has been very aggressive in doing all he can to make sure his events go on. You know, he wanted to hold an event, some indigenous property. He claims he has a fight island. And, you know, recently he said he has, quote, an overabundance of safety measures in place to make sure their UFC 249 event goes on without a hitch and that everyone working on the show will be safe. Well, as a fan, I am thrilled. I get to finally see some sporting action in general and some potentially very entertaining matchups. It still feels like it's a bit too soon, especially when all the other major sports league and franchises are going the other direction. You know, some are scrapping seasons, entire seasons, you know, with just a little bit more to go. The situation in the United States is still pretty precarious in a number of states. I think Florida, where the next three UFC events will be held in the next couple of weeks, there are 30,000 confirmed cases and over 1,000 deaths. I think maybe it would have been wiser to wait a little longer before pulling the trigger.
So maybe the timeline is just fighting talk for now.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, if you like the Straits Times Game of Two Halves, you can listen live on Money FM 89.3 from 5:15 every Monday, or you can subscribe to hashtag Game of Two Halves on Apple Podcast, Google Podcast, or Spotify, and like us and give us a rating. Now, back to the second half of our conversation with our Straits Times sports podcasters. The coronavirus pandemic has halted major sports and emptied arenas all over the world. But sports fans have found an alternative, esports. As many countries place their citizens on lockdown, many have jumped on the esports bandwagon, whether as a participant or spectator. Now, you wrote a feature on the rise of esports in the last couple of months. How big exactly has the boom been?
Viewership has skyrocketed over the last few months. One of the world's biggest streaming platforms for gamers, Twitch, estimated to have grown its audience by about 31% in March alone. And video game digital distribution service Steam hit an all-time record of concurrent users early April with over 24 million users on at once. And also, I think we've seen an increase in the number of people who are playing video games as well. Some games like Counter-Strike, Dota 2 and PUBG have seen about 1 million players online at once, you know, in the last few months, and that has been pretty significant.
So what's the big appeal of esports?
So I think the unique feature of esports is the level of engagement it allows between the players and their audience. And this offers a sense of community where one can interact with their favorite players. And also, I think the reason why people watch esports is really not that different from why people watch traditional sports. There's that element of competition and it's exciting to watch as well. Yeah.
Can we just take a step back? So, I mean, for these esports, it's not just gamers playing against themselves. You actually see perhaps professional footballers playing with each other as well. Is that correct? And then spectators are able to watch as they would, I guess, a regular football match, except they're watching their favorite footballers play online. Is that correct? Is that some of the cases that we've seen?
Yeah, that has happened because of the coronavirus pandemic. Mm-hmm. So I think a lot of traditional sports teams and leagues have turned to esports because now there are no live or very few live sports events. Yeah, and so this has given people an opportunity to still see their favorite, you know, traditional sports athletes in action, but just on a different platform.
With popcorn and in the comfort of your own home. So do you think there's still room for esports to grow internationally or locally, or is this just a one-time boom as a result of people being in isolation?
Yeah, no, there definitely is still room for esports to grow. I think we have to remember that esports had been gaining significant momentum over the last few years in terms of both viewers and investments. And there were projections that the global esports revenues would grow to US $1.1 billion this year, which is a 15.7% growth from last year. So, yeah, I mean, definitely the lack of traditional sports has helped to bolster this growth. But, of course, you know, they would have the esports industry would have to ensure that they continue pushing out good quality content, that the viewers are still engaged.
And I was just going to ask you as well, you know, what are some of the challenges for growth for esports?
Yeah, so I will speak about this locally, in a local context. Mm-hmm. I think one problem that the esports industry here faces is the public perception of esports, because people tend to be a bit dismissive of competitive gaming. You know, there's that misconception that esports athletes are gaming addicts who spend most of their time in front of the computer. But this is really not the case, because esports athletes often follow training programs which require them to have a strict diet and, you know, go to the gym to work out before competition.
Even for esports players. Well, that's really interesting. Well, thanks for that, Kimberly. And there goes the final whistle on our sports discussion of the week. We hope you've enjoyed listening to us. Glad to have you both on the show. Thank you, Cezalie and Kim.
Thank you.
Thanks, Rachel.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg. or download the SPH Radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.